Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. New Year's resolutions are just hard to keep up with, but saving money is easy at SaveWithConrad.com. Wouldn't 2022 be easier with lower monthly payments? Get the best rate you've ever had, pay off your credit card debt, and even get the cash you need right now at SaveWithConrad.com. You don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to get started, and you can even skip your next two house payments at SaveWithConrad.com. Find out how much money you can save for free at SaveWithConrad.com. Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to DDP Snake Pit. And of course, we couldn't do it without the Hall of Famers, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, how are you, man?
Oh, I couldn't be better, man.
And of course, we couldn't do it without DDP, Diamond Dallas Page. Dallas, what's up, dude? How are you?
Dude, I got a lot going on right now.
No kidding, man.
If you'd have told me I've been this busy going to be 66 in a month, I would think you were smoking crack.
I can't believe this is real.
Sorry.
You have a show on Netflix that starts today, Guardians of Justice. The internet is blowing up this morning, talking all about it. I don't think a lot of people knew you were in this. They kept this a big surprise. And then, you know, the fans of this just bam, hit the button and wait a minute. Is that Diamond Dallas Page's voice? Yes, it is. What's going on, man?
You know, this is a project that a buddy of mine named Adi Shankar, it's called an Adi Shankar Experience. And he's produced stuff from Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt to The Gray with Liam Neeson. He did Judge Dredd, not the one with Sly, the other one. I mean, he's done a ton of movies, and he'd gone, but he's not just that. He does things like, he did a lot of stuff on YouTube where he was just doing what he wanted to do, the way he wanted to do them. And around this time, about 7 years ago, he had got a hold of me and asked me to, you know, be a part of this project. And when I first read it, I mean, I absolutely wanted the main character, which was Nighthawk, but to be perfectly honest, I didn't really, you know, I didn't know if I really could do it. And he's the one who talked me into it, and super proud of the work, because this is like something no one's seen before. And there's a lot of really cool superhero stuff out there right now. You know, I love The Boys. That's a great show. There's a lot of great movies out, you know, that are superhero, but this is something that's super different. And there's 8 different types of 2D animation. There's claymation, 3D animation, and Adi found a way to work it through this season of 7 episodes. So I just would love people to go on a Netflix and then shout back, you know, and let me know what you think of it, man. You know, we got a really good response going into it. We were at the Cannes International Series Film Festival in October, and we got really like rave reviews out there. So we'll see. You know, you never know what's going to hit. I'm super excited about it, man, because it's, you know, my wrestling career, it took 8 years to be an overnight success. DDP Yoga, 8 years to be an overnight success. This is 7, and I hope it is that. We'll see. Also, what we started shooting here in Atlanta, we started shooting a new docu-series that we're calling Change or Die. And we'll be bringing out some information about it as we go along, but we're, you know, Jake moved into my place in the accountability crib.
That was Change or Die.
That was Change or Die, you know? And I rented it after, you know, after everybody got out, because I bought another place. And I asked my renters to leave so we could go back in there, because we have 6 bedrooms in there. So we're going to bring 5 people in to the house and try to help them through this journey. And it'll end up on, you know, a major cable network or who knows, maybe primetime. I don't know.
We're the news.
I hope not too. But it's going to be really educational. That's going to teach. It's kind of like Biggest Loser meets The Apprentice meets Fear Factor. And The Fear Factor, kind of like, I don't eat Brussels sprouts, you know, and then we show you a really amazing way to eat them. You know, one of our guys, Dylan, who works here, when he came in, right, and so many people helped us, you know, with Jake and helping get him and Scott on the right path. And Dylan one day was like, he don't eat any vegetables. And he's like, what the hell happened? I'm walking around here grabbing Brussels sprouts and eating them like they're Skittles, you know, because really real food comes down to cooking it properly. That it'll make it really taste great.
You got to educate yourself on how to prepare it.
Yeah, and we're going to do that.
Open a bag and eat it.
Yeah, and we're going to do that. And we're really excited about it. We'll talk about it as we work our way through it. But Guardians of Justice today on Netflix as a Netflix original is pretty amazing. So
I've never seen anything like it. Go check it out. You can find it on Netflix. Everybody has Netflix. It's Guardians of Justice. But let's talk about something that everyone's been talking about again, Heels. We've been waving the flag over here as a reminder. If you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Check this out over on RottenTomatoes.com, man. This thing is a hit. As a reminder, 96% fresh. This is something the critics love. Even the audience score is 92%. This beats all your favorite shows, and it's about wrestling. And dude, you're listening to a wrestling podcast. Go check out Heels, but... Let's pick it up, man. What'd you think of where we are so far in the season, Dallas?
So I think it's been really good. It's captivated me. We talked about episode 6 last week, and you know, of course, we don't give away anything. So if you haven't seen it, this is your spoiler alert. Fast forward us if you haven't seen it yet. But one of the things that I really love that you see the vulnerability of Wild Bill at the end with Willie.
She can kick some serious ass. I would not fight that woman.
Yeah, like she was, you know, back in the day, yeah. The characters. Willie was the valet of Wild Bill. And Tom, who is number one, you know, feud through life, him and Tom, is Jack and Ace's dad. So what we don't know, we just think that Wild Bill's just a crazy bastard.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and he's fucked all the rats. You know, he's got to save all around the world. And you don't
ring all the bells, blew all the whistles.
Right. And you don't really know the situation with him and Willie, because when he comes to town, he stays with her and her husband, and he's got shit in that room for forever. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we saw him get kicked out, and now it really, it comes because she's pissed off at him. And he basically, we can talk about now.
He threw the flag and said, hey, bitch, you're the reason why.
Right. Like, I loved
broke
you.
My friggin' heart.
Like,
and he's like, oh my God. Now you see his vulnerability, and you're like, holy shit, there is a reason for everything. And that's one of the great things this show is doing. And that's the character development and taking that story and putting it to pieces together and bringing something that surprises the hell out of you. Sort of like a guy peeking around a TV or something, you know, something like that.
You know, it's really interesting how they could have done it quickly.
Oh, yeah.
But they drug that out in a good way. Yeah. I don't mean in a negative way. What'd you think? What did you think of that?
I thought it was finally we see that Wild Bill is not just a rotten tomato. I mean, we just assume this is just a bad guy. There's nothing likable about him. But then we see, wow, okay, he's had a human experience like all of us, and not everybody's all bad or all good. And we see a different side of him and humanized Wild Bill for the first time all season.
Yeah, and I think that scene alone just if you don't bring in Paul Hubbell, I'll build right there.
Yeah, you do.
You know, and I already love the guy. I think he's.
I loved him when he was on top of the hotel.
That reminded me of something. Yeah, dude. Like, see, he is a lot of you, man. He is a lot of you, right down on wearing the snakeskin stuff, man. And there are times where Jake would say things that were so inappropriate, you know, and he'll own them today, you know.
I had no filter then.
He had no filter, but either does Wild Bill. He has zero filter.
And doesn't give a flying.
but inside he does. Because he does, you know, he just, it's the way he's at. And, you know, when you're like 20 years old and you can just drink everybody under a table, wow, man, you're the man. At 30 years old, you're still the man. But if you're drinking like that in 40, everybody's like, hey, dude, come on. You know, like maybe cut it back. But you're at 50, like you're just a dirty old man.
Yeah.
You know, and what really happens, you know, that I love this part here with Bill, like you're seeing, you know, the real vulnerability in that he is a good guy. And I would tell Jake back in the early days before, like I said, you know, when we started this podcast, I didn't know if I'd ever be able to have a real conversation with my buddy again. But over these last 5 years, the fog has lifted. It's been 8 years total. But the first 3 years, there's still a lot of fog there. You know, now he's a different cat. But back then, like where Wild Bill is to a certain degree, it's like, I would say, Jake, whatever you're thinking of saying, say the opposite.
Say
the opposite.
But he also taught me how to like myself, you know.
And, yes.
That took a lot of work, you know, because you can't like that guy you used to be. You got to like the guy that you're going to be. You know, and that's where I'm at now, man. I'm so happy with life. And, you know, AA, they tell you that if you do these things, that you will be rewarded handsomely above and beyond anything that you thought possible. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, look at this, you know, AEW, Hall of Fame. You know, and these things just keep coming.
Your own show,
a couple of movies, and
yeah, a couple more.
Peanut Butter Falcon.
I mean, like so many amazing things have happened.
Getting a driver's license again. Oh my God,
dude! Right, you driving because now he's not afraid to drive.
Yeah,
because he knows he's not going to go to a bar, get drunk,
right,
and keep or go to a package store. Like he knows it, and that's why. And give him super credit. For literally saying, no, I don't drive because I can't do that.
I knew where I'd go, man.
And so, or you don't want to kill anybody either.
No.
You know, so he would never drive. So we all talk about it like now Jake's got two cars.
a toy and a truck.
You know, but, you know, that I just got literally a cameo today from a guy who's 42. And he just needs a little ass kicking. He's trying to get sober. He's right on the cusp. And he literally sent me a cameo about that.
Yeah,
I know you do. I know because that's the way that movie touched people, man.
It inspires people.
That's what the movie, that's what Resurrection of Jake the Snake did.
If I can
do
it, anybody can do it.
And that's a fact.
That's true.
That's a fact.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Hey, so real quick, I was talking to a longtime friend of the show last week, and he told me that he tried to refinance and save with Conrad.com last year, but we weren't able to help him because we weren't licensed in his state yet. Now, that was Massachusetts. We are licensed there now. In the meantime, though, he went to one of those big national companies that you've seen on TV. He got an absolutely great rate, but he was explaining to me that, man, He had this big IRS bill coming, and things were a little tight. He had these credit card balances that had been hanging around for years, and he had these two car payments. And I said, wait, what do you owe on your house? And he told me. And I said, what do you think your house is worth? And he said, well, it's a lot more now. And he told me, and I said, dude, I've got just the plan. Just last year, he signed up for a 20-year loan at a great rate. Now, we've been able to get him down to 10 years. That's right, 10 years. He's going to own his house free and clear in just 10 years. And I know what you're thinking. Man, I can't afford to do that. I would argue you can't afford not to. Here's what I'm talking about. He's got a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old. In 10 years, his kids are going to be 13 and 18. And if life goes according to plan, what do we hope happens when our kids graduate high school? They go off to college, and that's very expensive. The time to think about how you're going to pay for college isn't when your kids are seniors in high school. It's time to get a long-term plan for your finances. And I don't just mean your income, but I mean your debt. Here's what we did. We took a look at what his monthly payments were on both of his car payments, and we compared the balances. Then we did the same with the credit cards. And by the way, he told me he felt stuck. He had been making minimum payments for years. He felt like they'd made no headway in at least 5 years. This credit card debt had just hung around at a crazy high interest rate. But maybe worst of all, now he had this big IRS bill. What was he gonna do? He went to savewithconrad.com. And how's this for starters? No payments for 2 months. That's the cash infusion he needed for his family right now. But more importantly than that, he cut 9 years off of his loan. He went from 19 years left down to just 10 years, and his monthly payments went down. Yes, he got a better interest rate. He got rid of all of his credit card debt, and he got rid of his car payments. But most importantly, he's completely debt-free by the time his kids start getting really expensive. You know what I'm talking about. If you've got young kids, you probably think, man, these little dudes are expensive. Wait until they start driving cars and going to college. We're going to help you get a solution for your short-term goals, which is to free up some of that cash flow. We're talking a break from payments for 2 months, but more importantly, lower monthly payments. But more importantly, it's going to check your box long term. He cut 9 years off of his loan. Now, had he not done that, both of his kids would have been going to college. And dude, nobody wants to pay a mortgage and college tuition for two. Get in front of this. Make a plan with SaveWithConrad.com and do it right now. Interest rates are on the rise. The Fed is going to raise the rates. And who knows what's going to happen with real estate values? Lord knows we've all seen that bubble burst before. Make the best decision you can for your family with my family. SaveWithConrad.com is routinely helping our podcast listeners change their life. I know it sounds silly, it sounds too good to be true, but it's real and we can do it for you. We're probably licensed in your state. We're in over 40 states now. You don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket. And here's the thing, man. If you give us a call and you've got a great rate and you don't have any other debt and you're already in a 15-year loan, we might say, hey, man, you got a good deal. Just keep doing what you've been doing. But don't you want the peace of mind of knowing you've got the best deal for your family? This is the perfect opportunity. Your house is worth more than ever. Rates are on the rise right now. And if you've got debt, lock it in right now at SaveWithConrad.com. And I want to mention, had he not had this conversation with us last week, he would have been stuck making those minimum payments on those credit cards, and maybe even worse, had to open a new credit card to pay the IRS. Dude, that is a bad decision. You know you can do better than that. Get the best rate you've ever had. Get out of debt faster. Keep more of your own money at SaveWithConrad.com.
Now back over to Heels. The ending is what I'm really starting to love. Because not just is Wild Bill showing his vulnerability, but we're also getting to see Allison Luff, who plays the wife of Jack. And she has, like, called him out, you know, on numerous sides, like the gerbil and the squirrels, and go out and catch fireflies with your son, you know.
And he does it because with him, like many wrestlers, it's all about wrestling and that's it. We had tunnel vision. I had tunnel vision for years. The only thing that mattered was the show. And that's not the way life is, man. You know, it's hard to keep a family together and be in this business.
You know who's done it and he's done a really good job of it. And I always put him over it, but this is just because who he is Jericho. Yeah. Him and his three kids and his wife, and I'm sure they had some rocky times. This is Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
But this cat, top podcaster, rock star. And top guy on AEW. Yeah. And what else is he doing?
You know, pilot.
Yep. Dude, whatever.
Has his own airplane.
cruises,
whatever he wants to do, and he makes the time. Like when I went, because he did so much. He was the first guy to ever do DDP yoga, and he told everybody from AJ Styles to Zack Ryder. I mean, everybody, Dustin Rhodes. He told everybody, and continues till to this day. And I wanted to pay him back because there was no podcasting back then. I wasn't paying to be on his show or anything like that. I mean, it was just Chris doing it. So I'm like, please let me take you and your family to Mexico for my retreat that I do. And eventually he did come, and that would be phenomenal family time. He spent one morning with us after that. It was all with what he was doing, and they went fishing, and his son's a hell of a fisherman, and he's got a ridiculously beautiful family, like beautiful, and he spends a lot of time with him. So there's some guys who can do it. There's other guys who get so tunnel vision. I know the way I was totally tunnel vision. If I didn't have Kimberly working with me at the time, we never would have made it. We never would have made it as long as we did. And we had a great run. So that's happening with, you know, you're really getting to see that here. And I love how they're broadening her character. So overall, that whole show, man, I'm pretty excited about it. And now we go into episode 7. And in episode 7, you know, that's where we start off again with the father and the son, yeah. You know?
Conflict, man. And you're starting to see a little bit about, I mean, I can't wait for the whole story to come out. Why he shot himself. Why? I mean, there's more to it than what had just happened.
Right.
You know, what got him to that point? And I'll tell you who the heel's going to be. The mom.
Mm.
His wife. Tom's wife.
That's a good guess. That's a good guess there, because she is so bitter.
Yeah, about she hates it. Wrestling.
Mm.
Hates anything about it. Yet, you know, she loves her children. But she see what it did to him and what her life was about and how shallow her relationship with her husband was. And she won't even hardly say his name. She always says he's in hell. He's in hell.
And it bothers the family because they sit in front of the kids.
Yeah, the grandkids.
Yeah, but
yeah, grandpa's in hell. You know, I'm like, damn, woman. a little rough.
Gotta wonder how, you know, because
what this, got him there.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking in real life what really happened with Eddie Graham.
Oh, yeah. And Kelly.
But how Mike grew up with that, loving and worshiping his father.
God,
you know.
I worship.
I mean, Dusty, everybody who knew him worshiped him. Kind of like the same way with Dusty, with so many people. And, you know, to wonder what that did to Mike, you know, that put him in that spot. And we talked about that. Mike had killed himself right before you came up.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah, it was for me.
So they're a lot of the things that they're doing, you don't have to make up too much shit in this show because we've got, you know.
There's record of it happening before.
Yeah, right. On so many different levels. But I do like here, too, that now she's starting to get some, the wife is starting to get some.
She's throwing balls.
Yeah, well, she's getting
she
that.
Has to.
But she's also getting people about her singing. Because they saw her in church, and now in this episode, she gets a huge opportunity that'll end up in episode 8. And I don't want to say what it is, so you know, because I want to keep it clean so people can enjoy the show and not just be told. But it's really well done, because it's like I said earlier a couple weeks ago, it's not a show about wrestling.
No, it's a show about people.
Right, life,
family, life.
And all the ways and the people who are trying to make it and what you do to get, you know, to get what you love, you know.
Aces flip-flopping back and forth.
Oh, I love that's really interesting, mm-hmm. is how in our business, like we laugh about it, but the guys who were heels, and we were heels way before we were baby faces, you know, they're the nice guys. Yeah. A lot of the baby faces are a little too full of themselves at times.
Their expectations from you are really too much.
But he's trying to, now that he's a heel, be nice to people.
Yeah.
And some people are buying it and other people are not, you know, and I find that really interesting.
Yeah, we hope everybody is checking out Heels. Of course, Heels is a big part of our program, but you know what else is a big part of our program? Old Jake the Snake stories. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about Jake's debut, not just in the World Wrestling Federation, but All Elite Wrestling. And the reason we're doing this is because, unbelievably, tomorrow is the anniversary of Jake's first match with the WWF, March 2nd, 1986 at the Maple Leaf Gardens. And interestingly enough, boy, what's old is new again. Your debut for AEW also this week. It's an anniversary, March 4th, 2020. Something about you and these big time promotions in March, Jake.
Yeah. I met my lovely wife, the Ides of March, March 15th. So March is a good month for me.
Absolutely. Let's sort of set the stage for some of our younger listeners who are only familiar with your WWF persona. In the run-up for your debut here with the WWF, you'd worked in World Class in 84, you'd worked in Mid-South for Watts in 85, and you're watching sort of the growth and the climb of the WWF through what's known in hindsight as the rock and wrestling era. And then of course, WrestleMania and MTV. But I've always wondered, as someone who grew up in a more traditional wrestling presentation, down and dirty, rough and rugged,
right.
What was your take on maybe the glitz and glamour and gaga of the WWF from the outside looking in?
You know, I remember the first television I did with them, you know, and the numbers of wrestlers there. I mean, just, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. There were probably 70 guys there, you know, and right. And I'm not talking about 50 jabronis or underneath talent. I'm talking about stars. I mean, everybody was there, from Snuka to Valentine to, I mean, Bockwinkle. I mean,
JYD,
every Piper, everyone was there. And to look in the lot, Morocco, Christ Almighty, Fuji, the list goes on and on of Bundy, and just forever, because Vince went around to every territory and took the top talent and put them in one place. So how are you going to cater to this many people? Vince found a way to do it, you know, and, but to go to the first television and see, you know, trucks and stuff that they brought, and just everything about it was mind boggling. It was like you were on a Hollywood set, you know.
Because you come from so small.
Yeah.
So small, yeah. Though. Boom.
I was in Mid-South, and we were at the Irish McNeil Irish
Boys McNeil Club.
Boys Club.
Yeah.
Boys Club.
Yeah. No air conditioning, no nothing, you know. It was bare tacks, man, and it was tough. But to go to that, and, you know, you're jumping on an airplane every day. Yeah, you know, I'd flown very little in my life until I got to the WWF. And the WWF, he flew almost every day, and sometimes twice a day, you know, on the weekends. He would work a 2 o'clock show and a 7 o'clock show, and not in the same cities. So to go on and to be a part of that, and to wonder, where in the hell am I going to fit in with this? I didn't think I had a chance, you know, because I've always been really hard on myself. Didn't think I was worth it, because that's what I was taught, that I'd never make it. And all of a sudden I'm being given an opportunity to make it. And eventually I did. But to see everything involved, all the pieces, it was just incredible. I mean, here you got, you talk about, we're going to have Tony Schiavone next week. I hear going to be on the show.
Yep.
Well, now I'm looking over here, and we've got, not only we have Gene Okerlund, but we've got French, Spanish, Japanese.
Oh, yeah, right.
What the hell? What do we need them for? You're going there. Holy shit. You know, and it never ended, you know, and Bill Watts, only in interviews, not on TV, but only when you did the interviews would he break down and buy you a turkey sandwich. Yeah, that was his gift. And he, now you guys need to thank me for that turkey sandwich. You know? And here we go to, I remember my first TV, and I'm like looking at the spread that's put out. I'm like, holy shit, this is a buffet from hell. Because all this food, I couldn't believe it.
And you got to think about this too. When he did all that, he wasn't where he is today.
Right. No.
This is a humongous gamble.
Oh, he put his life on the line.
Right.
Man, he mortgaged his home. He did it all. You know, it was a great gamble for him. And he got some rough introductions to some wrestlers that, you know, that took advantage of it and spoiled it for others. You know, I remember the days there used to be beer in the locker room. For after your match. Only problem is if you were on semi-main or main event, it was all gone before you got there. And there was a bunch of drunk assholes waiting to take your spot. You know.
Wait, let me picture that. Okay, I got
it. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. It was pretty brutal, man. So some guys would start early, you know, because that was the green light. But no, it was an amazing experience. I do remember my first. Oh, it was just, I couldn't see how I would have a chance at having a spot anywhere on the card. Because there were main event guys on the second and third matches.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Time to tell you about something I'm super passionate about, protecting your family. Yes, this is a life insurance ad for GoliathLife.com, but to me, this is really about peace of mind. Think about insurance for a second. We all get medical and auto insurance, yet we never even know if we're going to have a need for it. Let me let you in on a little secret. You need life insurance. We're all going to die. Now, as you let that reality sink in, think about what would happen if your family stopped having your income tomorrow. If you don't have a plan for that, you need to visit GoliathLife.com. And I mean right now. And just personally, I've lost two friends in their 40s this past year and a half, and I don't even want to think about what their families would be going through had they not had life insurance. If you don't have it, get it. Protect your family. And I suggest you go to GoliathLife.com because they've made the process of getting affordable life insurance super easy. Goliath Life streamlines the life insurance process by allowing you to get quotes from more than 20 carriers within minutes, and you'll pick your terms and payments to fit your budget. You pick your price, you start the online application immediately, and even schedule the medical exam to come to you. And I've done it. They sent someone to my office. I skipped the phone calls, the paperwork, and the crazy invasive conversations. Goliath Life makes buying life insurance simple. There's no hidden fees, no upsells, no hassle, hell, not even a phone call. Goliath Life is life insurance in your hands on your time. Get multiple quick quotes right now from the comfort of your own home and begin your application in a few easy clicks right now at GoliathLife.com. Well, let's talk about how you got there, because just to give everybody context to this, a lot of the territories are, well, suffering from Vince's national expansion. He really went wide with Hulkamania in January of 84. And we know the creation of WrestleMania in 85 and all the MTV stuff. But by 86, it's really a two horse race with the World Wrestling Federation and Jim Crockett Promotions. Are you having any conversations with Jim Crockett Promotions about where should we go? Because we know we're going to see Crockett ultimately purchase the Watts territory. And a lot of those guys come over. But you had, you know, friends in both spots. Were you ever considering working with Crockett here in 86 instead of Vince?
No, I wasn't. I'd had a rough experience with Crockett. I went in at a bad time with Crockett and, just wasn't able to do much for me. And, due to the creative process that Ole Anderson used, you know, God bless Ole for what he was as a wrestler, but as a booker, he is not. And if he says he is, that's just a downright lie, because he knows how to create a fight. And that's just by going whip somebody's ass. And that's about as far as the creative process goes. But so I'd had a bad experience there. And then I'd went to Atlanta and got my big break with the.
What year was that?
Oh, God, 84.
I was right around there.
Yeah. And that was my big break there because I was given the opportunity to book the territory, to create, to be the guy in charge.
Sure.
And I went from being a talent for Ole to being the booker of Georgia Championship Wrestling, and Ole just happened to be right there in the locker room, you know, and because he owned a piece of it. And we butted heads lots of times, but I was able to take the territory. And after 2 weeks, I'd fired my top three baby faces, which were Tommy Rich and the Sawyer Brothers, and turned King Kong Bundy babyface against the Road Warriors. Paul Ellering, myself, and the Road Warriors created the Legion of Doom. That's where that all began. And it's just because we hung out together and we shared time with each other. I think that the companies today, one of the things that is lacking is the camaraderie that we had back then. You know, because when you get in a car and you ride for 5 or 6 hours every day, you got to talk about something.
Yeah.
And usually at night, it's always about your match, what you did, what could you have done better? How can we make something out of this, you know, and things like that. But you don't have that today, man. You know, now today everything's done by email or sending messages back and forth to each other. I guess that's a new way to do it. And it might even be a better way to do it. I don't know.
So how did it happen back then? How did you get in touch with Vince or who reached out to you? Just tell us the story of how that came to be.
I was working for Watts and I was on the main event every night, but wasn't being paid for it.
Mm.
And Bill had hired Terry Taylor to be the general manager. And he hired him out of kind of a rib situation. Dusty wanted to get rid of Terry, so he convinced Watts to hire him as a GM. Said Terry's brilliant. He's got this for you and this for you. Terry didn't have shit for Bill, you know. But here he is sitting in this spot. So I walk into the locker room because I want to know what the hell's going on. Where are we going to go from here? I'd done an angle with Dick Slater. I'd worked with Lord Humongous, a few others, and I still wasn't getting the money. So, you know, so Bill, I didn't talk to you. He's like, and Terry stepped in. He goes, I'm the GM. You talk to me. I'm like, you piece, you know. And we went into the shower and I asked where I stood in the situation. And I learned that night that I was the number five babyface behind Terry Taylor, DiBiase, Dr. Death, and Jim Duggan. But yet I'm on last every night. Something's not right with this. And I brought that up. They said, well, it's just the luck of the draw. Said, no, it's not the luck of the draw, brother. It's bullshit. You know, you put the guys on last, they're getting the job done. You know, the people that bought the tickets bought them for that match. So Terry told me I was number five, and I said, well, I guess I need to give you my 2 week notice because I was furious. And I shouted, I opened, if I thought about it, I wouldn't have done it. But I'm glad I didn't think about it because I did it. I got home that night and told the wife, I said, well, I quit tonight. She said, what? What are we going to do? I really don't know, you know? And I picked up the phone and called Vince. And his secretary told me that he was going to be gone for 10 days. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. Because I'd had an opportunity to work for Vince before. He bought Georgia Championship Wrestling. I was the booker, and I made a total ass out of myself. I tore up the book in front of him and George Scott and threw it at him and walked out. Yes. Not good, Jake.
Yeah. Were you sober at the time?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking right.
Right.
Because I went from having an opportunity to be part of WrestleMania 1 to working and starving in world class. Yeah, I'm talking about starving too, man. I'm talking about making $500-$600 a week, You know, where could I have been? Don't want to think about it. But then I went to Mid-South and cranked it up again. But when I gave the 2-week notice, I'm like, holy shit, this guy's not even there to answer the call. Because I knew he was picking, you know, top talent from each territory. And lo and behold, about an hour later, my phone rang. It was Vince. And he said, get on an airplane, come up here. So I went. And the rest is history, man. You know, just, you know, looking back, hindsight's such an evil thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, because with the hindsight, you can clean it up and you can say, what would have happened if you'd done this and done that? What if, you know? Well, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bust his ass when he jumped. You know what I'm saying? You can't look at it that way because all it's going to do is hurt you. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I have survived. I'm 66 years old and you're about to be 66 too. Welcome to that. And things are wonderful. Sometimes I wonder if I'd been sober back then, what would have happened? You know, and I know what would have happened. I would have been given a lot more because people were scared of me because they didn't know what I was going to do. Vince McMahon himself said, Jake, the problem with you is we don't know when you're screwed up.
Wow.
So, well, maybe I've never been straight. You know, and I thought that was funny at the time. Well, it wasn't funny.
You remember those things like say the opposite?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And because it didn't matter if I was doing something, I still went out and performed. You know, and normally if I was messed up or something, I went out and worked twice as hard and put in twice as much time. Because I was angry at myself for being in that position. I never, ever, ever wanted to cheat the wrestling fans out of one bit of energy I had.
And they felt that.
They knew that I gave it all. And I appreciate the hell out of them. Without wrestling fans, you had no wrestling. You know, and now at 66, I'm getting to feel all the love. You know, and that's one thing I can say about the internet, and I can say it about Vince too, with them having a 24/7 channel with all the old stuff on there. I get new fans every year.
They're amazing.
You know, I mean, it's mind-boggling. A kid will walk up 7-8 years old. Oh man, I loved your match with so and so. I'm like, I wrestled him. You know, and you know, then I remember, yeah, I did wrestle him. How do you know? You're 7 years old. I've been out of the ring for so long, and it's a wonderful experience to have, man. And not only that, but through moving with Dallas and getting clean and sober, I have a lot of friends out there that were in the same position I was, people that I'm able to help now. And there is no better feeling than getting a letter from a 10-year-old or a 7-year-old or whatever thanking me for helping their daddy. Because now he's moved back home because he's not drinking no more. You know?
Right, right.
Man, that is so awesome. You know, and I'm saving people's lives that I don't even know. You know, that's incredible, man. It's incredible.
And it all came out to you trusting us enough, because especially after Beyond the Mat.
Yeah.
You know, like Jake was really, you know, I don't think there's anybody else you would have done it besides me, you know, but because he knew that we were going to take care of him. But I knew that the story, if he could get to the other side, that would be just like long after we're gone.
Yeah.
People are going to be watching that movie. You know?
Yeah,
they are, man. It's an incredible feeling. And it's also something that I have to do, man. I don't want to let anybody else down, man. I let my family down years ago. And I don't want to let anybody down, even if I don't know you. You know, that's why I do a lot of these Comic-Cons now. I get to meet fans and shake hands and hear their stories about the first time they see me and who they were actually watching it with, whether it was grandpa or dad or whoever. And I realized that I'm a part of so many people's lives that it's amazing, man. It really, really is.
So let's talk about
now I'm doing this and all I want to do is get out here and have fun and tell stories and you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and move on.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This year, it's time to get off the couch and get back into the bedroom. Blue Chew can help. Guys, we know that confidence can take you far in life, and when you feel confident, you're at your best, especially when it comes time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as both Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. You can take these dudes anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, the process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And here's the best part. It's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. BlueChew's tablets are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door, all in a discreet package. And guys, I've heard the lady say there's nothing sexier than confidence. Well, BlueChew can help give you that confidence you need where it counts. And if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free and use our special promo code DDPSNAKE at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. The promo code is DDPSNAKE to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring today's podcast. Well, we're glad you moved on to our television sets. Before we talk about your WWF debut, though, I want to know what you were hearing from some of your old friends who worked for Vince at the time. I think Junkyard Dog you had spent some time with before. Now he's working for Vince.
Yeah. I'd been with JYD in Calgary and in Louisiana where he got his big break. Unfortunately, JYD was, when I got up there, he was already pretty far off into the bad places. And he was hiding from most people, wouldn't talk to anybody, and just doing his own thing, if you will. And it wasn't good. And missing shows, and it was bad.
Another guy, though, you know, that if you're watching him, you didn't see that.
Yeah.
No, you didn't, know? Man.
And, you didn't see that. And that's one thing that's great about all, you know, great. I don't know if it's great or not, but it's the way it is. So many of the boys, like again, Scott Hall saying, I never had any problem in here. You know, it's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's hard to walk down the street, man, when everybody knows you. Mm. You know, because you're constantly having to be on. There's no downtime. There's no relaxed time. And it's a tough road. And if you're not, especially if you're not ready for it, and nobody could have been ready for what was happening with the WWF. Nobody. Nobody could have ever thought it would ever come to having, you know, 100,000 in here, 50,000, 80,000 there, and, you know, 75,000 in Toronto, 93,000 in Detroit, over 100,000 in Dallas, and they're fixing to do it again. Nobody would have ever thought wrestling would do that. But yet here we are, and the exposure is just phenomenal. It's incredible, and it takes you to some tough places, though.
When you first met with Vince, does he lay out the plans for you? We've heard these stories over the years of guys would say, "I could see you," you know, these grandiose plans in the pitch. Do you remember what that was?
I remember the pitch, and you're going to laugh about it, but okay, here we go. You know, back in those days, I wore red karate pants and pull-on boots, you know, and slip-on boots. And that was it. And when I went up and met with Vince, he's like, oh, I got a vision. You know, I'm like, oh, really? You know, I see you in lime green spandex tights or purple spandex tights with a snake going up your leg. And I'm like, dude, I don't wear spandex, man. I got racehorse legs. I don't have Clydesdale legs. I got skinny legs, and I don't want to expose that. And he's like, doesn't matter. This is what I see. And I see you with knee-high lace-up boots. And I took the time to explain to him why I wore slip-ons. Because at the end of my career, I didn't want to find out that I'd spent 3 months of my life lacing up boots. Because each time you put those boots on and take them off, it takes you about 20 minutes. And I didn't want to spend that much time doing that shit. But that was his vision. And then he said, and you'll be carrying a large python. And before I could say, I'm terrified of snakes, he had written down some numbers on a piece of paper and slid it over to me. So just as I was about to tell him, forget that shit, I'm scared of snakes, I looked down and I seen all those zeros. And I said, damn right, man. I said, you know what? I'm thinking about it. Them lace-up boots probably support my ankles better, wouldn't they? Yeah. And besides, you got to be tough to wear lime green and your royal purple. You won't make me a badass, are you? Oh, yeah. You know, of course, I bit the apple, man. You know, and back then, you did not negotiate money with Vince McMahon.
Right.
You got what was coming to you, so to speak. And it's still that way to an extent. Who said it was fair?
So
what is fair?
You have that meeting with Vince and then you put in your notice. I only bring this up because I finally,
I gave my notice before I went to Vince.
Okay. Because yeah. It's interesting. It feels like they're trying to placate you maybe with Mid-South because you win their North American title right before you leave and, you know, 10 days later, drop it. But still, it feels like that was almost a, hey, he's griping a little bit. Let's put a belt on him. Maybe that'll shut him up. Is that about it?
Yeah, well, no. They just did that to get one more big show out of me.
I see.
You know, the Houston show was Bill's biggest show. And Slater and I had done real well there. So he wanted to get one more big show out of me. So we had the match where I beat him for the title. And then he got the return and he took it back, you know, and I was gone.
With the way you left the Watts territory here, is that the reason you think he was, I don't know, for lack of a better word, a dick to you later in WCW?
No. Bill Watts is funny, man. Here I am walking out the door and he's going, hey, go up there and get us some talent and bring it back. And I'll give you the book I've been promising you.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and I'm like, fuck you, man. No, the reason he was a dick to me later on was because he was getting a percentage of whatever he saved TBS.
I see.
So he got guys to renegotiate their contracts under threat of, we're going to beat you every week on television until you're a piece of shit. Or you can renegotiate your contract and we can get along fine. A lot of guys fell for it. You know, and because there were some nice contracts at the time. And I'd been offered a contract by, not Jim Herd, Kip Fry.
Yeah.
Kip. And it was unbelievable. It would have been worth about $2 or $3 million a year, you know, conservatively. And only working about 60, 70 days a year, you know. It was sweet, bro. And Watts laughed at me and tore it up. And then back in those days, Bill was keeping half of your money for your work for 90 days. And if you were a good boy for those 90 days, you'd receive the rest of your money at the end of 90 days.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And whenever he had me, they asked me to let the snake bite me on the hand. I said, well, if it's going to bite me, let's go for the face. I wanted some shock, you know. So I did that, and I was supposedly told from Watts, next week you'll come on television and you'll hook up somebody else with the snake, and you'll offer run again. The thing with Sting will be done. okay, I'll do that. I did it. I went to television the next time, and a cameraman of all people said, you can't have the snake out. The snake's no longer part of your gimmick. What? The fucking cameraman telling me? Bill Watson never tell me. Nobody else told me. The cameraman told me. I'm like, those friggin' assholes. Bill Watts was so foolish back then. He had an opportunity to do something with me. Instead, he went for the one-time kill shot of, oh, our top guy beat the WWE's top guy. Shows you we're better than them.
Right.
Really? How stupid is that?
Well, that's kind of what Vince did to everybody who went up here from there. Well, not kind of.
Exactly. Stupid, too.
No. What did Eric Bischoff do? They came in and Eric put them all over.
Yeah.
They ran through everybody.
And it worked. It worked.
It worked.
So, Jake, let's talk about your booker when you go to work for Vince. I think it's George Scott at the time. What was your relationship like with George?
I never had a relationship with George. In fact, he was part of the steamboat thing being dropped on his head on the concrete. George had been a great booker for Jim Crockett a few years earlier, but I met him the first time whenever I threw the book at him in Georgia Championship Wrestling. And then I went up there and he's up there. And that's when we were doing Saturday Night Live and they wanted me to DDT Steamboat on the concrete. And I told him that can't happen. It'll kill him. And I was serious about it. And I argued the point and I told him I wouldn't do it. And Steamboat came to me and begged me. He said that he owed George Scott for his push in the Carolinas. That's when guys paid each other back, you know, for doing good things. And begged me to do it. He said, I'll protect myself. I said, you can't protect. There's not enough time. It will hurt you. And if you watch that film, you'll see George Scott come into the ring, you know, to check on Steamboat. And I'm jumping around the ring going crazy because I thought he was dead. And I'm pointing a finger at Scott and I'm pointing a finger at Steamboat and I'm screaming at him, this is your fucking fault. He's fucking dead. Because I thought Steamboat was dead. Because when I picked him up on the floor, he was limp.
Ow. Yeah.
And that nearly herniated the shit out of me. But here's how sick this shit is. Even after I did Steamboat on the floor and nearly killed him, the Steamboat, his head swelled out 4 inches. It took 2 weeks for his eyes to turn black. There was so much swelling. Nearly killed him. What was it? Maybe 4 or 5 months later, they want me to DDT Hulk on concrete. Like, are you serious? What happened the last time? Well, this isn't on concrete. This is on a set. It's hard surface, man. It don't give. And what happened? Split Hulk's head.
Well, before we get there, you're on another set to make your debut. And what a character he was. Jesse the Body Ventura is going to have you on his body shop. This is part of the All-Star Wrestling taping that you're going to debut here with the Snake. And we're going to introduce the world to Damien. When did you meet Damien? Who came up with the Damien and name? And what do you remember of being on stage with Jesse the Body here?
I came up with the name Damien because I figured associated with the devil, get more heat. And later on, I came back with Lucifer and whatever. But, you know, again, it was such a different type setting and show. And I'm walking out with the, you know, I'm coming out on the body set. And, you know, Vince or George never came to me and said, we want you to talk about this, this, or this. They just let me do whatever I wanted, which was new for me. Because Bill Watts usually told you exactly what he wanted or the high points off of each interview. So I didn't know idea what direction we were going, nothing. So to go out and do it was tough, but it was still easy for me. As far as meeting the Snake, I met the Snake for the first time that night, and wasn't happy about it. And they had a snake handler, this dude named Albert, who I swear is a descendant of Charles Manson. This guy is a psycho. And he had a lot of snakes up there in Connecticut, man. He had like over 500 snakes in a barn up there. And he brought the snake and he's like, do you want to get it out and, you know, handle it? I'll show you how to. I said, I got it. I didn't have it. I knew how scared I was of it. I wanted to force myself because either you're going to pick this snake up, Jake, or you're going to lose your job. Mm. It's time to shit or get off the pot.
Hey, let's start a timeout right now. I want to give you a heads up. We're going to be talking about a lot of things here on the podcast that are going to make you feel better, give you that confidence, give you that peace of mind, move you in the right direction. We're all about positivity here on the show. But here's something I'm positive of. We're all adults, and some of us use nicotine to relax, focus, or just unwind after a long day. Well, Lucy is a modern oral nicotine company that makes the best nicotine gum, lozenges, and pouches for adults who are looking for the best, most responsible way to consume their nicotine. It's a new year. Why not start it out by switching to a new nicotine product that you can actually feel good about? Now, growing up, and I'm sure eventually we'll get to Jake's testimony about smoking, but growing up, both of my parents were big smokers. I grew up hating it. It felt like we were really a slave to cigarettes, what car we went, whose house we went to, what restaurant we went to. And man, if we were in a public place, they'd have to go outside in the freezing cold to smoke. Come on. If you enjoy using nicotine, you should definitely check out Lucy's products at lucy.co. That's lucy.co, and use the promo code DDPSnake at checkout. Also, I have to read this disclaimer warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Of course, you already knew that. But remember, if you're interested in a better way to use nicotine, visit lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code DDPSnake.
But something amazing happens with me. It's just like we talked about earlier. You can feel really sick or have an upset stomach or be high or whatever. When the bell rings, click, something happens in your head and it's on time. It was the same thing with the snake. When the bell rang, I had no fear of that son of a bitch.
It was crazy, man. But I watched you out there with, forget the python.
I find out later, the first thing a snake is going to strike 99 times out of 100 is your eyes.
Really? Because they're moving?
Because rapid eye movement is the fastest thing you do. And I'm holding up here like this, taking pictures of you. You stupid bastard. You know? But yeah, it was a real treat learning because I did it the trial and error method. And yet I had to be cool doing it. So that was pretty tough.
I was just blown away, like when you got to the Cobra. Oh, and yeah. I get it now because you said they're slow.
Yeah, they're very slow.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to get, you know, messed up and get in the hotel room and put the Cobra on the bed and put my arm out there. And I was fast. You know, I could pull it away before you hit it because they strike like this fast. That's it. Whereas a rattlesnake or a python, they recoil and boom, fire. It's faster than your eyes can see. But that I'd be in the hotel room doing that shit four or five times and the phone would ring. I'd pick up the phone and forget about what I was doing over here. Then the damn Cobra would bite me, you know, which it didn't hurt because Cobras don't have fangs. They have teeth. And it's like a catfish in the mouth. But I would much rather handle that Cobra than those pythons. Those pythons have very huge fangs and they rip your flesh, you know, and it's not fun.
I'm curious.
I did have one that choked me out. Ricky Steamboat had to pull one off of me in Indianapolis and it choked me out in the match. I collapsed, went down, and Steamboat seen that the snake was around my throat and that I was turning purple, and he knew to unwind the snake. You can't break the snake's grip because what happens when they lay across their scales like this, their scales interlock. And you can't break that lock. So you have to get either the head or the tail and unravel them. Well, Steamboat unraveled it and then let go because Steamboat's scared of snakes too. As I come to, the snake is going into the fourth row.
Oh, God.
And the tail, luckily, is still in the ring. And I lunge and I grab the tail and I whip it all back in. It's about a 17-footer. Because the people were starting the Red Sea movement. You know, where they're all running and screaming. And it was pretty incredible. We went back to Indianapolis about 3 months later. And as soon as I got there, I thought I was fixing to be arrested because the police are coming and the building manager. And I'm like, what have I done? And they're like, did you bring the same snake? I'm like, why? Because, man, everybody's called. They want to know if it's the same snake because they want to watch that sumbitch kill you.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I love my fans.
So
I just went out.
You know, nobody knew how to really react to what's going to happen at the end of this first match. And of course, several years ago, we were all lucky enough to see on the old school Raw. Boy, it's a badge of honor. Now, Dean Ambrose was grinning like a possum as you threw that big snake on there. And well, Dallas, you were there to see that.
Do you know why? Yeah.
No.
CM Punk told him the snake just shit on you. And Dean started laughing.
But the first time you do it, I think your win is over an enhancement talent named Mr. Nelson. And Nelson is now draped in this snake. This is your big debut. What did you think of the visual? What was the crowd reaction the first time folks saw that?
Horror. In the early days, it was all horror until the younger kids started getting into it. Now, younger kids like the snake because it makes mom and dad cringe. If mom and dad don't like it and they shit themselves every time it comes on TV, they dig that thing, man. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, it was horror. You know, and I had people, you know, get pretty serious about wanting to get a hold of my ass over that shit, too, you know, so. Several times.
Talk to us about the WWF rings back then. A lot has been written that, boy, these were just concrete slabs. These were not the old Southern wrestling rings. And you're having your first match here. Could you tell a major difference in size, firmness? The ropes are different. What's different?
The size was about the same, maybe a little bit bigger, but it wasn't firmness. It was concrete. Yeah, exactly. Because what had happened is, the TV networks, NBC being who they are, and the different ones that you're trying to ship this tape all across the country. The old rings that we used to use, you know, they give.
Yeah.
They give for you, which is a good thing because that means your body doesn't have to take the brunt of the collision. NBC and those people didn't like that shit. Because it caused the color to bleed from the blue mat. Why not change the color of the fucking mat? Figure it out, guys. You know? So instead of changing the color to the mat, they decided they would stick support beams underneath, you know, like six of them.
That's brutal.
And nothing gave. And the first bump I took in one of those rings, I didn't think I was going to breathe again.
Wasn't Dallas's ring like that? I remember that being
Dallas's really hard. Ring was the same way because it was mounted in concrete.
Yeah, right.
Figure it out.
I hit that first time and I went,
turnbuckle? Hell no, man. You don't hit
it. We're wrestling.
Yeah.
We're wrestling.
It's time to walk and talk, baby. Damn straight, man. It was rough.
So after this Canadian loop, you're on the road to the Northeast. You're going to hit Buffalo and Philadelphia. But when the WWF debuts in New Orleans at the Superdome, you're not on the card. Why do you think that is?
It pissed me off.
You remember that?
Yes. I was so angry that I wasn't in New Orleans. I wasn't in Houston. I wasn't in Dallas.
Oh,
I wasn't
places.
In Tulsa. I wasn't in Oklahoma City. I'm over there.
I know, you're over there.
So they finally took us to Houston, and I was wrestling Steamboat, and they booed the shit out of Steamboat.
That's why. I got it.
That's why. You're going to fuck with our storyline.
What'd you think about finally being able to wrestle in Madison Square Garden? I think you get a win over Randy Savage's brother, Mr. Lanny Poffo, but this is such a legendary arena, not just for wrestling, but for entertainment globally.
You know, I, I'm ashamed to say that it didn't really do that much for me. Mm. The building itself. Tell you the truth, I didn't like working there.
Really?
Because it was hell. It was hell to get into. It was hell to get out of.
Hard to get in.
Yeah.
Getting in and out of that building could get you killed. I mean, they would turn ambulances over because for a while they'd put us in ambulances and take us out. And then the fans outside caught on, so they started rocking them and turning them over. I had a limo driver, and he stopped. And when he stopped, they broke every damn window out of it. And they liked me at the time. You know, what the fuck, you know? I was more impressed with Boston Garden simply because the parquet floor was in the back. And I went over and I seen, you know, the parquet floor, Larry Bird, you know, the great Celtic teams of the past. But Madison Square Gardens, I just did not like going to the gardens because if you flew into Newark and you've got a 7:30 show, you had to leave by 3. It's only 12 miles.
Right.
What the fuck? You know, if you left at 1:45 to 2, you could be there in 30 minutes. But if you waited till 3 o'clock, brother, it ain't happening. And I hated that.
Yeah, I'd hated that too.
Oh, I hated it. And I wasn't going to get a rental car and drive in New York City. Hell no. No, ain't happening. You know, I would have killed somebody. I mean, I'd probably got killed if that would happen.
You finally get to your big shot at the big stage, the biggest show probably at that point you'd ever been on, WrestleMania 2. And of course, most people remember WrestleMania 2 was in three cities, Long Island, New York at the Nassau Coliseum, the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago. And of course the Sports Arena in LA. You happen to be on the Long Island spot. You're wrestling George Wells.
Yeah.
Going to get the win after just 3 minutes, the big DDT and, yeah, here comes the snake. But WrestleMania, man, you just a few days ago, seemingly you're working with Watts at the Irish McNeil Boys Club, and now you're on WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, and about to make more money than I made in 3 or 4 months for Watts.
Yeah.
In one night. But, you know, again, catering was unbelievable. Seeing the hundreds of miles of cables that were put it in the floors and stuff, and then seeing the stars come in. Then I got myself in trouble by trying to talk to one of the stars, and she wasn't too receptive of it because I had the snake around. Well, I had the snake around. This was before the match. And then after the match, I came back around the corner and she was headed for her spot. And I got the snake around me now, and she's got a little dog about this big. And it's freaking out. And she's telling her two security guys to get me. And they're both about 6'10 and about 400 pound black gentlemen. And they went, fuck you, bitch. And they took off. And what was her name? Comedian?
Rivers?
Yes.
Joan Rivers.
And I got a real ass chewing from Vince.
I'll bet.
About scaring the talent that they brought in.
Well, of course, we know you're going to be programmed with Ricky Steamboat next. We'll talk about that another time. Let's fast forward several years. In 2019, you made an appearance for a vignette for the Women's Casino Battle Royale for the AEW debut All Out in Vegas, which they included a fun little snippet. I'm sure we'll talk about it some other time, but you had maybe a less than awesome moment once upon a time at a really bad pay-per-view called Heroes of Wrestling, but you did a promo. You want to play 21? I got 22. They made you the dealer for that, which is about as tongue in cheek for a vignette. Really cool spot. What were you hearing about AEW and this creation? And hey, there's this guy down in Jacksonville. It sounded, now in 2022, we know what it is, but back in 2018, when people were starting to whisper about this, it sounded too good to be true, did it not?
Yeah, I did. It sounded way too good to be true. And, you know, at the time I wasn't that closely connected to watching anything.
Right.
So I had no idea. I knew that Cody Rhodes was there. I don't think Dustin was even working for him at the time when I first started hearing about it. But, you know, how many times have we heard a story? There's going to be this new promotion, man, that's really cool. And everybody's right. going to make millions of dollars. And yeah, see you. Plus, at the time, I'm too damn old to do anything. You know, and.
You're too what?
Too old.
Oh, I mean to wrestle.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so I knew I wasn't going to be in there wrestling or anything. And I never seen myself as a commentator. Maybe I should, but I just never have. And so when they asked me to do that spot, I thought, that's cool. The money was good.
Yeah.
I like that. And I was surprised at the amount that they gave me because I would have done it cheaper. But anyway, lo and behold, they asked me to come back. And they do. And which is another surprise. And
I don't know what we're allowed to talk about or not talk about, but what was your first impression of Tony Khan? When did you first meet Tony? And did he lay out sort of his vision for, here's what we want to do with Jake the Snake now?
I met him at the first TV I went to.
Okay.
And just a sweetheart, man. I thought he was just some some jabroni that carried papers around. I didn't know who the hell he was, man. Because he doesn't come across as a Vince McMahon, you know, stare you down type. He's very personable. He's very, very nice to be around.
He's just a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the energy that he has.
Yes.
It's incredible, the energy and his appreciation of what the talent's doing out there. It's incredible. I mean, I've seen him leave his position and sprint to halfway across the building to tell somebody what a great match, you know, and never seen Vince do that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I appreciate everything that they do, everything to birthday cakes for guys on their birthdays to the way they handle everything, you know, the hotels that they put us in and the flights and, you know, just all of it, man. It's a class organization, you know, and I see what's happened. He's taken what he's been doing for years with football people and the soccer people in England, right, because he owns a club over there, and he's given that same type of love, that's what I call it, to wrestlers. And it's absolutely wonderful.
How did the original idea of you sort of, I don't know, developing guys to attack Cody or take on Cody or challenge Cody, how did that come to be? And then how did you land on Lance Archer?
They came to me with Lance, man. And I was glad to be a part of it because I like what Lance does and how he works. And he's a fine man. You know, he's a good man. And I really don't want to be around a bunch of assholes, man. So
yeah,
maybe that's why I'm not in the WWE. Oh, that's not that. I don't mean that. I was just making a funny.
Well, it's fun to compare notes, you know, of how you first joined the WWF and how you joined AEW.
I don't want to talk a lot about how things happened to WWE. I mean, at AEW.
Sure.
They may not take that too kindly. And I want to respect what Tony Khan wants and his dreams, too, just as I think everybody else wants to.
Well, we're excited that you're getting a second shot at your dream. You're entertaining us on TV nearly every week, and I don't know that anybody had that on their bingo card a few years ago that you would be a regular part of wrestling.
No, I would have bet on it and lost my ass again. See,
but what's interesting about wrestling is, man, it just continues to evolve. And within just a few weeks of you debuting on TV, COVID becomes a thing. And now we're essentially on closed sets for a while. That had to be something, even as long as you've been around the wrestling game, never anything like this, right?
No, it was absolutely horrible. And I tip my hat to the talent, because I'll tell you something, guys. Getting in the ring and performing, that's wonderful, because you got fans and you pull the energy from those fans. They're cheering you on. They're shouting at you. They're booing you, whatever. You're getting that from them. Now you're going to an empty arena, and the only people sitting ringside are the other wrestlers. And they're not so kind to you, you know? they're getting pretty stiff with some of the things they say. But there's no energy there, because they're not cheering and getting involved in it. They're just, you might as well put the placards up and with pictures of people on their faces or whatever, you know.
I don't know how Sting did it over that period. It actually worked.
It hurt so much. It hurts so much to take a bump when there's no people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably the reason I would never, ever talk about a match, because I wasn't going to take a freaking bump unless the show was going, you know. And these guys get out there and they fly like eagles, man. And I do appreciate what they do. I think, you know, I like different flavors than they do. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we all got to be individuals, I hope. You know, I don't like the color, this color or that color. You can like what color you want, but I don't. And I'm going to do what I want and what I like. And, but it's such a great place for me right now. I'm getting the opportunity to help some of these young guys on interviews, because their ideas, that I know a little bit of something about that shit, even though I never went to school for it. But, you know, it's just good to share knowledge, man. It really is. It's good to help each other. You know, I've been doing a little something for the past year and a half, maybe a little bit longer, of doing random acts of kindness. You know, anything from reaching over and picking up somebody's tab at a restaurant in the morning, you know, maybe an old couple sitting over there, and you just look at them and you see how happy they are or whatever. I go over and just grab their tab, man. So this was on me. And I believe it promotes love and kindness to each other. And I think the world can use a lot of that. And it makes me feel good. That's the reason I do it. Makes me feel good. It's not like I'm going to get a free ticket to something. It costs me money, but it makes me feel good inside. And whether it's opening up a door or letting somebody go in a line or whatever, it's not a big deal. Yet, when you do it, you see people's reaction. They're almost in shock that you're doing something. And it shouldn't be like that, Conrad.
Yeah, I agree.
It really shouldn't, you know, and playing around with kids and stuff, you know, when I don't have to do that, but I'll spend time with them, you know, and talking to them and entertaining them. That's what I do. If I can do it for one or 1,000, it doesn't matter.
Well, we're glad you're doing it for us every week here on DDP Snake Pit. Today was all about Jake. Next week, it's going to be all about DDP. We're going to be talking about when he really became a star in 1997, the rise to the Macho Man Randy Savage feud after turning down the NWO. What happened next? All the twists and turns. And the rumor and innuendo is we might have a little guest, and Mr. Tony Schiavone stopping by. You never know who's going to show up here, but we know you guys are going to be showing up. You got some big appearances coming up. Tell us where you're going to be again, Dallas.
We're going to be at the same place. It's pretty much straight through. We're going to be at Red Stick. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Red Stick Wrestling.
Right. It's Lamar Dixon Expo Center on March 5th. We'll both be there. And then he's going to be at WrestleCon Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And then Sunday with you.
Yeah, right. So I'm going to be at WrestleCon on Friday. And then we're both going to be, and you can give the details of this, but my buddy Chris Randolph owns that little barbecue place across the street. Now, when the Dallas Cowboys are playing, he throws the biggest tailgate party in Texas.
Yes, he does.
There's 1,500 plus people, and it's all the food and the booze and, you know, the whole shooting match. And, you know, Ric Flair, he's the main cat there. It's his thing. But me and Jake and Cavie asked us all to come in with him. And so we're excited to be there, and it's going to be a hell of a deal right before WrestleMania. And WrestleMania Sunday, because I know they're doing it 2 days this year, which I understood that when it was you know, dark, and you know, when it was no people, but when now that there's people, I don't know. That was I wrestled there at my 61st, right, the day before my 64th birthday, when I was in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, And to walk out in front of 101,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, wow. What a rush. To do that twice, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how filled that arena gets, man. And it's WrestleMania. And I think the COVID has been cut back enough that, you know, people, like, it's so funny where you see some basketball games you'll watch on, you know, for the March Madness coming, there's no fans at all. Other ones, they're packed, you know? So it just, it depends where you're at. I know here in Georgia, like, we've learned to live with the COVID, and some people wear masks, some people don't, but, you know, just keep your immune system built. Don't wear yourself out. That'll help you from getting it. But, you know, we'll be in all three of those places. And what's great about the WrestleMania Sunday, where can people get tickets for that, Conrad?
If you want to grab tickets for WrestleMania Sunday, you need to head over to VIPSportsGetaway.com. As a reminder, Kevin Nash, Jake Roberts, Diamond Dallas Page, and the Nature Boy, they've got a DJ, they've got restrooms, they've got a barbecue. I'm talking about unlimited soda, water, Miller Lite, wine, margaritas, and an open bar plus barbecue. And I mean every kind of barbecue. And tickets are on sale now. It's Boiling Tails, which is right across the street from the stadium. So if you're going to WrestleMania, this really is the ultimate tailgate. It doesn't get any more convenient. If you've never been to WrestleMania there, that arena, that stadium is in the middle of nowhere. This is where you want to be, right across the street. It's VIPSportsGetaway.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, cameos. You guys want to catch a cameo with Jake or myself, we're always up there. Go to cameo.com.
It's fun.
Knock you out something special.
I want to mention too, it's this Saturday. Red Stick Wrestling Con is where you want to be. Gonzales, Louisiana. Man, it is a who's who of the good old days. Hacksaw Jim Duncan, Tatanka, Akeem, One Man Gang, Lex Luger, the Bushwhacker. How about the Million Dollar Man, Greg Valentine, Ron Simmons, Sergeant Slaughter, and of course, DDP and Jake the Snake Roberts. Pick up your tickets now at onescottshop.com. That's onescottshop.com. onescottshop.com. And that's this Saturday in Louisiana. We're back on the road again, boys.
Yeah.
Road again.
And we'll be back next week talking about DDP and the Macho Man Randy Savage right here on DDP Snake Pit.
See ya.
See ya, bud.